Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're talking about the cannabis cure. It's a new book that's available to you from today's guest. He's Dr. Cass Ingram. He's an expert on things related to botanical medicine. Dr. Ingram, this is an e-book, or is this a physical book?
Yeah, this is a physical book, The Cannabis Cure, Perfect Wellness Through Whole Food Extract of Raw Cannabis. And it deals with the cannabinoid deficiency test, where you can find out how deficit you are. It has a big section on it.
So that's a self-test, like a self-test that you can administer to yourself.
Yeah, they find out, like, if you have symptoms where you're not making enough endocannabinoids, you're having depression, anxiety, irritability, maybe a resting tremor, seizure, autism, ADHD, inability to handle stress, these types of symptoms. And then the other thing is the big section on the medical condition that's useful for historically, mm-hmm. as well as clinically. There's a section on marijuana, good and bad, warning people of the dangers and the addictive nature of modern marijuana.
Great.
That's the book.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm glad you take that position, because I think there's some people who are indiscriminate proponents of marijuana legalization. And here, I think we have to be very careful to state that we're not about, I guess for some people it's a harmless recreational drug, but it's not something that we advocate merely for frivolous amusement purposes, that there are actually true health applications of this, if used correctly in the right form.
That's right, and that's what it was used for before. Like we said, in Victorian times and early England also, nobody smoked it. Nobody took it to get hallucinogenic. There were some smokers of hashish, don't get me wrong, there were clubs in France, but the common people just took it as a drug. And mm-hmm. that's what we're talking about. What kind of safe application, and it's a valuable natural medicine that meets certain arenas that we can't, don't have a lot of things that make new neurons develop or that will regenerate damaged tissue from a concussion or a head injury or from stroke. This is one of the few things, or that is very effective for opiate addiction. That's published research, people, and for marijuana addiction itself, and for alcohol. I've had two alcoholics have no interest in alcohol since they're taking this.
Hmm.
I want to do more research on that.
Well, let's look at some of the medical conditions for which this seems to be beneficial. We talked about headaches and insomnia in part one, so I refer you back to that. What about glaucoma? There actually is considerable literature showing that smoking pot is associated with a lower risk of glaucoma. I'm thinking of the island of Jamaica, where they have Rastafarians, who is part of their religious rituals, smoke a lot of pot. It's actually, it's okay, it's to get high, but it's also part of a sort of a religious culture. And while African Americans are highly prone to glaucoma, it seems that the Rastafarians are relatively free from glaucoma, precisely because they consume so much pot. So what is it possible to replicate those results using CBD oil or using hemp oil?
Well, because you're taking tens of thousands of tons of hemp and extracting, and to get a very small percentage, you're going to get better results than you will by just smoking a small. And typically they have to keep smoking the pot over and over, whereas this is more curative. So definitely glaucoma, macular degeneration to a degree, generalized visual disorders, you would want to use the cannabinoids for that. Another major use you mentioned, we should really just tweak it a little bit, is the insomnia, because if you take it during the day, then you start sleeping better at night. I like the super strength for that purpose. Yet another whole arena is the neurodegenerative diseases. We're talking Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia of all types, multiple sclerosis, and especially the diseases with tremors like Parkinson's. Definitely you want to add this to whatever you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Seizure syndromes, epilepsy outright, and another big category is chronic pain.
Yeah.
People that are on opiates, that are addicted, and even people who have to take pain drugs, they should be using this because it will reduce the need for the medication.
And it works on a different pathway than, say, OxyContin or, you know, Vicodin or the common pain medications, because they work on the opiate pathway. So it's not like you're, you know, adding to the potential sedating effects of those medications. You're actually complementing them with a different mode of action, right?
Oh, you definitely are. There were a number of studies published where people on hardcore codeine addiction were able to lose, better than methadone, any desire for the addiction by using just cannabidiol, even the drug forms. But this is so much more sophisticated that we've already had a number of people on SSRI drugs and opiates pull off slowly, gradually, as it should be done, using this as sublingual drops. Yeah.
It makes me think of the application of fibromyalgia, because there you have the dual problem of a sleep disorder as well as a body ache, a pain syndrome. So are you familiar with any published research, or do you have anecdotal feedback from people taking the essential oils?
You know what I found it invaluable for? Trigger points.
Okay.
You actually take the super strength oregano oil, fibromyalgia, and you just either take it on your thumb or and just hold it there or rub it in. And if somebody could rub this up and down this, you know, rhomboids and subscapularis and that whole area of fibromyalgia, plus taking it as sublingual drops. So yes, but there's not a lot published on fibro. Most of it's on chronic pain in general. Inflammatory arthritis, there is published studies on. It's good to add to whatever you're doing.
And
other areas that we didn't talk about.
Sure, go ahead.
Mental acuity. I mean, do we have a deficiency there where people aren't able to focus, whether driving or handling heavy machinery? I would take these drops for people who need increased focus, increased clarity, increased ability to do difficult tasks, studying, exams. Take the drops under the tongue. This is very effective for increasing the mental acuity. There have been a number of studies where when you take hemp extract, the body actually makes new receptor sites to receive the endocannabinoids. Pretty amazing stuff.
You know, I came across a lurid headline in one of the tabloids from England. They're even worse than tabloids here, which said marijuana may help Alzheimer's disease. And I thought, wow, that's kind of weird, because you think the stuff rots your brain and makes you stupid. But the article points to research that suggests that there's something in marijuana that may protect brain cells from inflammation or destruction. I'm not exactly sure what pathway was inhibited. But maybe that's what they're alluding to, is, you know, what you described, brain acuity benefits of these substances.
Yeah, they are. In fact, you can't get around it. Even if you smoke it, you're going to get these chemicals. You see, that's why they're going to still see some benefit. And one of the key chemicals is carophyllin. Beta-carophyllin is the only molecule that has been shown to increase the lifespan of, you know, the Elegans worm is that special worm.
The C. elegans worm, yeah, it's a model for studying longevity. It's a very primitive organism, but that's where they do a lot of research.
So it was the only thing that had so much drama to it, that the Elegans worm dramatically had an increase in lifespan. So beta-carophyllin happens to be, listen to this, people who smoke pot for a reason. Now we're taking the extract more because of, we have a medical condition we're taking. We're not taking it because we think taking it is going to make us high. But what it is the feel-goody stuff is rich in beta-carophyllin. So hemp is, marijuana is, but so is cinnamon. Who's going to have a cinnamon roll without cinnamon? Who's going to have cappuccino without it? Cloves are rich. Basil. Everybody loves a good pesto sauce. How about hops and beer? Chamomile is rich. Everything we love. Black pepper. Who's going to have a salad without that crushed pepper? Oregano? Pizza without oregano? rosemary, and sage. Those are the top sources of beta-carotene. Hemp is the highest, but the second highest is African black pepper. The third highest would be probably oregano, sage. And so the carotene is a huge terpene molecule. It is a neuroprotective. It's very well absorbed into the blood-brain barrier. It's an antioxidant. And it has something to do with extending the lifespan of the neurons. Nobody understands it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I was about to say is that I work a lot with patients who have inflammatory bowel disease, in other words, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's. And for many of those patients, they report a relief from pain and symptoms, and their condition gets better when they take CBD. And, you know, whether it's hemp oil or whether it's purified CBD, they get a benefit. Now, it appears a part of that is just sort of relaxation of spasm, reduction in pain, but some of it may be a genuine anti-inflammatory effect. Can you talk to the anti-inflammatory properties of these oils in the gastrointestinal tract?
It's extremely significant. You're dealing with all those CB2 receptors or endocannabinoid receptors in the gut wall. So all you're doing is you're inducing a state of balance in the digestive tract. You get balance, you get the ability to have a bit better immune response in the Peyer's patches, the white blood cells are more efficient, the nerves are shooting their impulses in a more regulated fashion, so you're gonna be, your body's gonna fight off that inflammation. But the beta-carotene itself is published heavily in the literature as a very potent anti-inflammatory compound. So it's a combination of the direct anti-inflammatory substances and the nerve system regulation. You and I as doctors can't beat having a drug like that. The other thing is it's been shown that the hemp extract stimulates the production of gastric acid, of digestive juices. I think that's probably because of the neurological, the receptor site activation.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they're correct in their reports.
And of course,
I found it really great for heartburn. Yeah.
Really? Okay. Taken internally?
Yeah, again, it's, the best way is if a person could get the crude extract, take it as sublingual drops, hold it there for GERD, esophageal reflux, chronic heartburn, H. pylori. It's going to work in adjunct to whatever they're doing. But there's no question it's really ideal for Crohn's and irritable bowel. Those would be two indications.
Great.
I love it the most, though. I must say, we talk about the diseases. I must say, in diversion, I love it for how it makes me feel.
Okay.
You know, just the up that I get out of it.
Right, which is subtle and, you know, mildly euphoric, but not, you know, something which reduces you to a giggling mass of jello. What about its effects on appetite? Because you know that people smoke pot, get the munchies. I've used CBD in some of our patients who, you know, unfortunately most of us, you know, have uncontrolled appetites. We eat too much, but there's actually a subset of patients who have difficulty, with appetite. They have a lot of nausea, and, you know, there's not a, the medications used for nausea are pretty inadequate. So what about something
you know what
that can alleviate that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a digestive stimulant. So it's more of a bitters. When you take it in this form, the hempanol, you're getting the bitters from the stalk of the hemp, you're getting the bitters from the oregano. It's quite a combination. So I would say take it before a meal. If you're having a, you know, sort of anorexia even, or digestive issues, mm-hmm. or poor appetite, fantastic addition to whatever you're giving. But what I find fascinating more than anything is that this was freely dispensed with vigor for about 75 years in this country. If we could trace back and see, obviously the Victorians thought this was a kingpin, you know, as far as an herbal drug. Now, as you see, it's coming out and it's helping. It's like when oregano oil first came out. People had sinusitis and bronchitis and chronic colds and congestion, and they're taking oregano oil and wow, it's wiping it up. So you and I are on the cusp of something new that is really going to help the people with chronic health in the indications it's good for. You know?
The subject, of course, today is hemp oil, and cannabinoids, but, briefly tell us what you've done in relationship to oregano oil. You've written several books, and you're really a proponent of oregano oil. Where can we direct listeners to find out more about the benefits of oregano oil? Perhaps that's a subject for a future podcast.
Yeah, they can go to CassIngram.com for now. There's some videos there and some articles. CassIngram.com. There's an 800 number. They're oregano leaders. 1-800-243-5242. They can call these people and send them some literature. So let's have all of New York, New Jersey get a nice literature packet if they don't know about wild oregano. It's a great antiseptic. You and I use it in practice, right?
Indeed.
1-800-243-5242.
Yeah, oregano is a wonderful natural antibiotic.
Yeah. It kills viruses, fungus, mold, yeast, and efficiently kills those and bacteria.
Indeed. Okay, so for the book, The Cannabis Cure, is there a website where people can find out more about it?
Yeah, I tell them to go to CassIngram.com. I mean, why mess around? That's the publisher of me, and so go to CassIngram, CassIngram.com. You can order the book there. I think they've got a two-book special of some sort. They're probably the new version of The Cure in the Cupboard. But there they go.
Great. It's Ingram, I-N-G-R-A-M. So, what's today's intelligent medicine call to action? Are we talking about one specific formula, or are there a variety of formulas that you advocate for patients willing to explore the potential of cannabinoids?
Yeah, for those who want to explore a crude, raw cannabinoid terpene extract, it's called hempanol, regular strength, most people. Hempanol super strength for the tougher situations like chronic seizure syndrome or a kid that's, you know, just Tourette's and autistic and nobody can help, which you can rub on top of it. But you know, if you want to use the regular strength for the kids, that's okay too. It's probably smart as well. And then there's the hempanol PM, where they add hops, chamomile, and that's for insomnia. Furthermore, there's a hempanol cream, which a lot of people are using for pain and inflammation.
And you recommend, would that be helpful for athletic soreness, for people trying to recover from workouts?
There's an athletic coach that's using it on tendonitis, bursitis, very successfully, and sort of sprain syndrome. So I would say if you want to be really aggressive, you just buy the super strength oil. Mm-hmm. If you want an emollient cream, then you can use the hempanol cream. They also have gel caps for the shy and sheepish that don't want to taste anything.
Right.
That's not me. I like the taste.
Right. Is it very sharp or bitter, or does it create a burning sensation on the tongue?
Not much burning. Strong taste, but rather, you know, you taste the green. You taste the chlorophyll. Because you're doing supercritical extract. You're getting all the different flavonoids, the quercetin. You're getting the saponins, the sterols. You taste all that kind of organic taste to it.
And can you suggest dosage ranges? I mean, is there a point where, you know, too much, or is there a point where don't bother because you're using too little?
There doesn't seem to be a too much. Even some people are benefiting from 5 drops twice a day. That, like one lady, she said she was constantly in the psychological loop. She's got 5 kids. She's an ex-drug rep. She's got this going and that. She's just taking 5 drops twice a day under the tongue, and she's gotten out of her stress syndrome. So I would experiment with it. Try 5 drops twice a day. Last you a long time. If you're like me and you're on the go and you need more aggression, you might want to take it 20 drops twice a day. I found it so good to feed the endocannabinoids that I don't even need to take it every day. I might go 3 days without it. Then I feel like I need a little shot. So, and think about it. Do we use a lot of black pepper on our salad? Do we use a lot of cinnamon dust on the cappuccino to get that little feel? You don't need a lot.
Okay.
Well, if it was me and I was treating somebody with multiple sclerosis, I'd be hitting them harder.
Yes.
I'd be giving 40 drops 3 times a day.
Well, it's an inflammatory neurodegenerative brain condition, and if indeed this can slow inflammation, cross the blood-brain barrier, have a beneficial effect on mood, you know, then bring it on, right?
Yeah. You know what I found it invaluable for? I didn't want to forget Lyme disease.
Okay.
You know, I got to send you my book on Lyme. I got this crazy Lyme 4 years ago in the woods.
Uh-oh.
and I was doing some research on herbs, and I was in a wheelchair twice.
I didn't know that.
And so the last little remnant when I was pretty much cured was when I discovered this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helped that last bit of brain fog and irritation.
Hmm.
So I've been using it online. Now, here's what I did. I had a guy come to me with 20-year tremor, Lyme spiral key damage to his brain,
mm-hmm.
20 years of tremor. I hate to even say this, but I have to give you the clinical case.
Yeah.
3 days after giving him 20 drops twice a day, the tremor disappeared.
It sounds too good to be true, but I know that, you know, you would, you'd embellish it by saying it took 3 months of taking it to make it more credible.
You know, so it's just one of those things that is a good adjunct when you've got brain damage. And you know, when you're dealing with spirochete, there's corkscrew pathogen, it even drills holes into tissue. You gotta repair that. And, like you said, you gotta fight that inflammation. You may need to use the oregano oil as a germicide. Add in this as well.
Well, yeah, I want to thank you for a most interesting perspective on what I'm sure is going to be a very promising paradigm that is going to, it's going to bestride the medical world, because on the one hand, you know, they're going to say it needs to be prescribed, carefully controlled. But on the other hand, I think there's a great potential for this to become a retail product widely available to the public. And I want to commend you for working to make this more widely accepted and more widely accessible. The product, once again, let's mention the product is, what do you call it?
It's Hempanol regular strength, Hempanol super strength, available in gel caps, also Hempanol cream. Plus, there's something very interesting called Hempanol Omega oil, which is a cold-pressed hemp seed oil with the oil of hemp and oil of oregano, oil mm-hmm. of turmeric, oil of sage inside the hemp seed oil so that you don't even have to refrigerate it.
But you get a lot of omega-3 from this, by the way. It's hemp oil is kind of like flax seed.
Yeah, and if you think about it, it's in nature, the seed has the oil and the stalk has the cannabinoids. If you use them together, you're going to get better results.
Great stuff. Cass Ingram, and the book is The Cannabis Cure. I recommend that you check it out.
The Cannabis Cure, CassIngram.com, and give them a call. They'll help you out. 1-800-243-5242. If you're old-fashioned like me, have them send you some literature. Get educated about raw hemp extract.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, and all the best to you. And maybe we'll revisit you with a specific focus on what you're doing with oregano oil, because that's a subject unto itself.
Thank you very much.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us.